and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of the Let's Keep It A Buck podcast, episode 44. You know what I'm saying? Yep, Jerry West episode. No one can boo me tonight because our third co-host is not going to be in this episode. It is actually his birthday night, birthday week type shit. And he had family that surprised him today, caught him off guard. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Dom. Shout out to Domo. Throw dubs in the chat. You know what I'm saying? But we got another guest tonight, man. Another 2K legend. Another YouTube legend. First Battle Hall of Famer, Stax Montana. Say what's up to the people, man.
Well, I got to call me the first Battle Hall of Famer. I appreciate that. Hey, everybody out there, was good, man. That kind of caught me off guard, bro. Like, it's crazy. If you don't mind me saying right quick, it's crazy because I've been doing this for so long, but I'm still young. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like, a lot of people, like they comment or they tell me, like, man, like, I've been watching you since I was in such and such grade. And I'd be like, wow, like, that's crazy. Or they call me OG and stuff like that. It's just wild to think that I've been doing this for so long that I'm considered an OG now.
Yeah, it's, man. Bro, I'm one of those people, bro. Like, I've been watching, like, I started watching you when I was, like, 14.
Wow. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Wild, and now I'm, that's like, wild. Approaching 21. So, not to put some age on you, my guy, but man,
crazy. And I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it
for sure. For sure. Thank you for taking your time to be on the pod. But we got another usual co-host in the building, Shia LaBeouf. What's good?
What's good? What's cracking?
Say what's up to the chat, bro. Say what's up to the chat.
What's up, boys? I love y'all. They're gonna, bro, now that Dom and Word are here, they're gonna be clowning me the whole episode.
What do you
they're
mean?
They're gonna be trying to get me to suck on my mic. You know how whenever we have a guest, they're always trying to get Wardu and Dom to suck on the mic.
Oh my!
Hey, yo, Stax doesn't know about our chat, bro. They say the wildest shit.
That's wild.
They say the wildest shit, bro. How have y'all been this week? Another week of quarantine, man.
Man, I've been doing pretty good, man. The quarantine for me, it gave me a lot of time to just reconnect with my immediate family, like, you know, the people that I see every day.
Right.
And in a way, I've appreciated it a little bit because there's less of, you know, having to, like, go out to have a great time. And I keep it real, I'm a homebody. I chill at home all day, every day over going out.
Right.
So I feel like it gives us more time to just connect without any outside distractions and just grow together. Like, I feel like I learned something new about everybody in my house almost every day.
So. That's interesting that you said that it brought you closer with their immediate family. Cause I feel like, well, depending on the situation, some people kind of like, they get pissed at their immediate family, like the people they see every day because you see them so much.
So, well, for me, it's just me, my wife, and then my two kids here. So,
right,
it's not, if I hated any of them, then it would be a problem. Yeah, it'd be a problem.
That's going to be on the quarantine days.
Yeah, that's a whole different type of issue right there.
Right, so. Right. Justin, how's your another week of quarantine been, bro?
Another week of quarantine, man. I thought when I went home for quarantine at the beginning with my family, I was thinking that same shit. I was like, this is so ass. I cannot stand another day with my brother. I couldn't do it. And I came back to school. These guys are like my best friends too.
Right.
And I still can't stand them, bro. Every single day I need to get outside. I'm so annoyed with these kids.
Yeah, no, Stax brought up a good point, bro. I feel like a lot of, ever since quarantine started, there's been a lot of time for people to think. There's been a lot of time for people to plan stuff out, especially for 2021.
For better or worse. Yeah.
For better or for worse.
For better or worse. For sure.
Yeah, man. But I don't know. I just feel like 2020, because of the circumstances, was just a year of like everyone planning and scheming for 2021. Mm-hmm. And then 2021 is just a year of execution.
I feel like we can only go up from here, especially after the year we just had, man. I feel like if it get any worse, like, if your year gets any worse than it was previously, like, yeah, you did something wrong.
That might be a problem at that point.
Yeah, because, you know, 2020, you was able to make that excuse. You know, it's 2020, the pandemic. But now it's like, you got to adjust, man. I think that's something that us as people have to, you know, get better at doing in general, just adjusting to everything that's going on around us. and you know, learn how to adapt to it.
Yeah, man. Real quick, shout out to iRomi for the sub. Also, real quick, shout out to everyone listening. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to SubChat. Shout out to the audio listeners. Spotify, iTunes, y'all know the vibes, man. Leave us a 5-star on iTunes. Because apparently iTunes has like an algorithm. Apparently, and 5-star is the way to go. YouTube, make sure to hit that sub button. Hit the noties. Our noties are not broken, so, you know. You know.
Wait, we fix the noties?
They should be better. They should be better, but...
They should be better. Okay.
You never know with this fucking platform, bro.
Yeah.
Just to break the ice, because this is literally like the first time I'm talking to you, bro.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like you came in here 12 minutes. This is our first conversation, but mm-hmm. since this is, you know, a basketball pod, you know, that's the baseline for every conversation. What team are you rocking with, bro? What team?
New York Knicks, man. I've been a Knicks fan for so long.
Right.
I've heard every joke. I've heard every joke. I've heard every everything, man. So, you know, whatever you got to say, I'm sure I heard it before. You know. I've heard the reaction.
Yeah, I'm about to say
the laughter every time, man. I'm used to it all. But I do want to say this year, you're not looking great. I won't call us great, but we definitely look better than we've looked in the previous couple of years, man.
Not looking like the Knicks. Definitely not.
Yeah. We've had some pretty dark. Last year was dark for me, man. I was like, I ain't gonna lie, man. It kind of turned me off basketball as a sport. Like, I didn't even want to see a basketball.
That's how bad the Knicks were last year.
Yeah, man. Like, we was terrible. Like, we got a little bit better, you know, as the year went along, but Fizdale, like, the start to the season that he got us, man, it was terrible. So, yeah, that whole Fizdale project was a mess anyway. But anyway, Knicks fan, you know what I'm saying, lifelong. I've been through it all. I've been through, obviously, the worst of years. And honestly, man, about the Knicks, can I just say real quick, I feel like the media really drives home, like, a lot of bad narratives that's either not true or no longer true about the Knicks. And it's just that's what bothers me more than anything else. Just like casual basketball watchers or just people that trolls in general, like, say certain things about the Knicks, like, oh, this is a Knicks thing to do, when we haven't done a thing like that in like years. You know what I think? I think the Kings are who the people think the Knicks are. That's what I really think, man.
What can you give an example of, like, a narrative that, like, you anymore?
No, I'll just give an example of something that just happened recently that, you know, people was kind of making jokes about. So the situation where we signed like 4 power forwards or something like that. I don't know if y'all remember, like, last year we got Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, Julius Randle, all, you know, we signed all of them. And, like, a lot of people were making jokes like, oh, the Knicks signed 4 power forwards, da da da. But at the time, we had no bigs on the roster. You know what I'm saying? I think we had Mitchell Robinson, and I can't remember exactly, but we might have had one more. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we needed bigs, you know, on the team at the time. But no one knew that. No one knew that we didn't have bigs. So that's why we signed 4 power four. I even hate the term even saying. That's why I keep doing this. But yeah, like, this stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? People, you know, make those type of jokes, and it's just. Or the situation with draft lottery every time. It's like,
like, y'all really do have bad, like, draft lottery luck. I ain't gonna lie.
And I agree with that. But it's like a situation like this previous draft. We went down from number 8 to number 9 or number 7 to number 8. One of those.
Yeah.
And all of the jokes were about us. Like, all of the jokes were about
that's
us.
True. That's
not
true.
Not getting a number 1 spot, not getting a number 1 pick. But it's like, I don't think any realistic Knicks fan was even thinking of getting the number 1 pick. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Coming all the way from 7 or 8, wherever we was. So that, like, stuff like that is the stuff that annoys me. Not necessarily like the jokes of saying the Knicks suck and all that type of stuff. I'm used to that stuff. It's just
that's just part narrative. Of the culture at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just the narratives that's out there about the Knicks that's not true, or, you know, it's just something stupid.
I fuck with it, bro. I'm all about exposing these narratives, you know what I'm saying?
For sure, man. For sure, man. We got to get on that.
Yeah. How do you feel about them signing D-Rose? Because that's been like a
topic this week. It's crazy because I still got my D-Rose jersey from when he was here the first time.
Yeah.
So I was ready to bring it out, and then I realized he was going to be wearing number 4. So now I feel like I'm going to have to get a new one. But, man, I'm excited about it. I wouldn't say that was a need, like a team need right now. But, you know, just having another veteran. Like, listen, before we signed Taj Gibson recently, but Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose are literally the only 30-year-olds we have on the team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And I think our oldest player before that was like Alec Burke. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we definitely needed that veteran leadership. And having like a former MVP, a guy like D Rose, a lot of people respect around the league, and they're gonna listen to what he got to say.
Yeah.
Just in general, I think having him on a team for that reason, I feel like justifies the trade. Plus, we didn't give up much in the trade, but I feel like that, you know, justifies the trade on its own. And then, you know, just seeing him out there on the floor and competing and, you know, giving everything he got to definitely helps. But as far as, you know, just as a basketball trade, I mean, you know, I'm on the fence about it, you know, taking minutes away from younger players. But if this move leads to us making the playoffs this year, yeah. You know, or you know, whether it's 6th seed, 7th seed, or even getting into the play-in tournament, I'm all for that. So
damn,
know,
I forgot there's a play-in tournament this year.
Yeah,
bro.
For sure. We'll see how that. You know how it turns out.
Yeah.
So. I'm just happy he out of Detroit. I just love Detroit.
Yo, Detroit, bro. Oh, man.
That's another team. I think
it's so great. Every time I think about the Pistons, it's just like great.
Like, I mean, they've won championship in recent years, but like that's kind of like the Eagles. Like the Eagles are trash. They just got lucky and won a title that one year, but instantly went back to trash. So that's what I think Detroit is, man. And I think people think the Knicks are Detroit, how the way people talk about us.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, the thing about the D-Rose situation, I feel like it's not going to make y'all like title contenders or anything.
No, for sure I wasn't. You know, just right now I'm taking those steps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's a culture
improve
move.
Improve the team.
It's a culture move.
What was the last playoff series you guys were in?
Series like a team, I think Miami or Indiana. I'm not even sure exactly what team we played last. But
like
2014,
around
there. Yeah. Back then. Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah, when I started watching Sex.
It's been a while. But, you know, just having a team that I feel like goes out there on the floor, compete every night. Like, we one of the best defensive teams in the league right now. And we are, I think... Like I said, we just got Taj Gibson and Derrick Rose, so I don't know where the averages are now, but I think we're still the youngest team in the league right now. So the fact that we're seeing young players buy into playing defense and the veterans coming in and playing defense and everybody stepping up on the defensive end is definitely a great sign. Like you said, a culture move and a sign of building a great culture there. So I'm definitely excited. You know, just seeing those type of little steps, because – before, Knicks and defense wasn't even in the same book.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Now it's
Knicks
like,
and winning in general, like even like at a 500 level, you know, mm-hmm. it's a step in the right direction. I feel like a lot of Knicks fans.
And that's what I've been looking for. Not necessarily like, yo, we making the playoff this year or, you know, we're going to win a playoff series. I'm looking for those improvements and then, you know, getting to the point to where we're making the playoffs and maybe winning the series and then, you know, continue to build the team that way.
No, I fuck with that, bro. Like, the gradual change, because the mistake a lot of Knicks fans make is, like, they try to go for these, like, big-ass moves in one summer. Like, are we getting Zion, Kyrie, and KD? And then that shit doesn't happen, and y'all get disappointed.
I mean, you know what it is about a lot of Knicks fans, too? It's like, at this point, we cannot go any lower than we at right now. So it's like, why not for the stars? And if we fall, we ain't falling nowhere. We're still back where we're at. You know what I'm saying? So, I, when that whole thing was going on, I was definitely a part of the, like, yo, we getting KD, Kyrie, Zion, all of that stuff. Because it was probable. And the reason why that was even a thing in the first place is, again, going back to the media fed all of that. The media was like, yo, KD linked to the Knicks, Kyrie linked to the Knicks. And obviously we was the we was the worst team in the league that year, so we had the favorites to get the number one pick. So that's where the Zion talk came about. But yeah, man, you know, like I said, the Knicks are, as Knicks fans, we've been to the lowest of lows. So, you know, it's not
been through
it
all. Been through it all.
So it's not, you know, same strange land for us. Like, yeah, you know, we don't get the superstars. All right, well, you know, we back here at the bottom chilling. You know what I'm saying?
Try again next year.
Facts.
Yeah, man. All right, now that we got the icebreaker out the way, you know what I'm saying, at our first conversation, let's talk about YouTube things. So when did you start creating videos? Because you said you started young. I don't even know what age you were back then, so.
I started when I was around, I want to say 18. I'm 28 now. I just turned 28 in January. So I've been out here in these streets for a minute. But, yeah, I started back in, like, 2012 or something like that. I can't remember the exact year.
Was that 2K11?
No, 2K12, actually.
Okay.
It was 2K12, my first 2K that I uploaded. And, you know, and I feel like it's like this for everybody. It started out as a hobby. It started out just as a way for me to, like, you know, show my friends, you know, certain things. And I actually got into it from seeing, like, other creators on the site. And I just always felt like I was good enough at the game to where people would want to watch me play it. Right. So, you know, that's kind of how it started. And, you know, I feel like I gradually just got better at not even just playing 2K, but creating content. And I think that's where a lot of people,
yeah,
you know, blur the lines a little bit, because they think just being great at the game is, you know, what you have to be successful. But I feel like the actual creation of content and being entertaining
is harder.
It's definitely way harder. And then trying to also be great at the game while being entertaining is a whole nother task in itself too. So, but yeah.
Yeah, that's
been
a fact,
been a pretty great ride, man. I got my 1 mil plaque.
Hey, I peep it, bro. I'm trying to get there, bro. So how was that feeling like when you,
man?
Well, first let's talk about when you actually saw, like, oh shit, I hit a mil, like,
what's
on social
crazy
media.
Is going up to it, like leading up to it, I knew I was close. I felt like I knew the exact day I was going to hit it because I was like on a steady climb, so I kind of was able to calculate, like, all right, by this day I'll be there. So, like, building up to it, I had really no feelings towards it. It was just like, you know, I'm just one that's not big on, like, crazy milestones, like my birthday come around, not too big on that, you know. So I'm not, you know, milestones like that doesn't really move me. I'm always thinking about what's next,
right?
But once it finally hit, I feel like that's when it hit me, like, wow, man, like, that's, this is a crazy achievement. Like, it's not a lot of people in the world that can say that they've, you know, done something like that, you know? And then,
yeah,
you know, when I put it in that perspective, and then you kind of imagine 1 million people, like, in a room, or
that's
1 million
what,
people,
yeah,
like,
that's just crazy. Even 100,000, man. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
50,000. That's just crazy.
You know, it just makes you just realize, like, the impact that you've had on so many people. Like, you know, just from being, like, a regular person and, you know, to making that type of impact on so many people. And you made one, like, just think about it. You made 1 million people laugh or, you know, smile or think something positively about you to where they're like, I want to see more of this person.
That's a fact.
And I feel like once I put that into perspective, it really meant a lot more to me than it did, like, just leading up to it.
Yeah. And honestly, it's probably more than the mil. It's probably than a mil, because especially the past couple of years, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember the last time I went out of my way to go to my sub box. Most of my shit is just, you know, homepage recommended shit.
For sure. Same, my stuff like that as well.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not a big difference between, like, let's say, not like 950K and a mil in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I bet seeing that number, you know what I'm saying, 1 million, that's just something special, bro.
Yeah, man, because it's like when, like I said, I started as a hobby, and for it to turn around and 1 million people, like, it's stuff like, it just seems, you know what I'm saying? Like,
just even saying
crazy.
It right,
like,
now, bro, that's probably crazy.
It's crazy, like, 1 million people, dog. Like, you know, you don't even, like, you when you start out, you don't even think about stuff like that, you know, and for it to happen, you know, it was crazy.
Yeah. So when you, going back to the beginning, what was, like, the hardest part for you? Was it editing, just getting the personality straight? Was it gameplay?
I feel like gameplay, I was straight on that. Like, that wasn't, you know, a challenge for me at all. Like I said, I feel like I was good enough at the game to just get great gameplay. For me, it was more of having the equipment. Like, because I feel, mm-hmm. and I feel like a lot of people, when they start out, they don't have the, like I didn't have what I have now. I have, like, 3 monitors, you know, a PC, you know, all types of everything that I need to, like, create, like, high-quality content. Like, in a couple of my older videos, you can hear my older brother snoring in the background of the videos while I'm, like, recording videos and stuff like that. So right. I feel like that was more the hardest part. I feel like as far as editing, once you learn how to do it, it become, like, second nature. Like, you know, so I feel like after a while, that kind of, you know, got easy to me. It was just more about having the equipment. So once I was able to upgrade, you know, my equipment one piece by piece, like getting a new mic, getting a better computer, a laptop, you know, and doing stuff like that, that's when things really became a lot easier for me, because mm-hmm. I cut down on, like, you know, editing time. Like, I remember my first laptop was so crazy. I used to have to sit it on a crate, because if it was on for, like, more than, like, 5 minutes without the bottom of it being able to breathe, it would just turn off, right?
Yeah.
And, it's like, dumb. And it had to stay plugged up. Like, it didn't hold a charge. So I had to continue.
I had the exact same laptop like that. Yep.
It had to always be plugged up. Like, it was, bro, it was bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And, you know, so dealing with that. And in the beginning, I was using my sister's computer, so I would have to, like, delete, like, a lot of her stuff off the computer just to, like, record gameplay, because the gameplay takes up a lot of space. Man, it was crazy. Like, I remember there was a time where I was recording videos, like, in my living room, and you could hear my mom washing dishes in the background. Like, it was crazy. But, you know, when you grind, like, that's just part of the grind, and I think a lot of people kind of like to skip that part of it and then go straight to there. But I feel like that kind of, like, when you go through stuff like that, it kind of makes you appreciate, you know, like, you know, everything else, you know what I'm saying? It makes you appreciate it. And then you look back on those times, you're able to laugh at it now, but you look back on those times and you're like, man, like, I really went through all of that to make it here. Like, I stayed focused. I didn't quit. I didn't give up, because everything wasn't lined up perfectly for me. I kept going, and, you know, I made it to where I'm at now.
Yeah, and like you said, like, right now we're looking back at it and, like, laughing and shit. But I feel like that's probably when you found out that, like, okay, this is something I really want to do, that I'm going to go through all of this trouble just to do. And yeah, some people wait too long to even start a YouTube channel. And I'm telling you right now, Stax just said he had a laptop that wouldn't even work unless it was plugged in. I was the same way. When I started video editing, literally the exact same situation. I had a Toshiba, like, 12-inch laptop. And as soon as you unplugged it, in 5 minutes, it would die if it wasn't unplugged.
See, mine was instant. As soon as you unplug it, it's going straight off, man. You don't know how many times, because I used to edit on Sony Vegas, mm-hmm. where you had to save it. You don't know how many times I've been working on the video, somebody came and tripped on the cord and unplugged it, and my whole everything is gone. Everything is gone. So, yeah,
Sony,
man,
Vegas didn't have that autosave, bro. That's just tough.
Now I'm on that Final Cut. I work on the Mac. I'm on that Final Cut, and, you know, it got the autosave on there. So,
yeah,
anything go wrong, I'm good. But, man, people really don't know the behind the scenes of all of these things, dog. Like, even this camera, like, when I was able to buy this camera, like, I remember I was using, like, a webcam, and you could barely see my face. I like a locked character.
Look at Justin using a webcam right now.
But it was wild, man. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, like, you know, when that's what you got, you make it work. You know what I'm saying? It's no,
that's a fact.
You know, like, obviously you want to upgrade and get better equipment, but when that's what you got, you make it work, dog. You know what I'm saying? And, you know.
Also, once you get the equipment and you don't know what the fuck to do with it, it's kind of useless. Like, you have, like, a $3,000 camera. You don't even know how to put the batteries in.
And sometimes, what are you doing? And sometimes people get all of this equipment, and then just as, like, when you receive that instant gratification of getting all of this equipment, like, right away, you kind of expect that the same instant gratification when it comes to getting on YouTube, uploading your videos, and gaining views and subscribers and stuff like that. And when it don't happen, they quit, and they spend all this money on this equipment and end up quitting. So
that's a fact. I even saw a TikTok today, and it's kind of related, but not really. And the TikTok was like, when you try to buy a PC, and you end up like falling in love with buying PCs more than actually playing games. And that's
that's wild.
It is nice.
Some people have their entire channels just literally just building PCs and giving them away. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen millions of subscribers on YouTube? They just buy parts, build it, give it away. That's all they do. They don't even use their PCs.
I gotta see what that's about, man. Because I gotta get me a new PC actually.
Yeah, because I was looking at getting one too earlier. So I was looking at some videos, and this guy, his whole channel, like once a week, new PC build. I was like, what is he doing with all these PCs, bro? Give me one of these.
I broke my PC recently, like right after Christmas. My wife bought me some Astro A50s, right? And I was trying to hook them up, and I plugged it to the back of my PC, and everything just went off, right? So I'm turning stuff on, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what's going on with this thing. I don't know what's wrong with it. Like my gameplay not showing up, my monitor, like, bro, it was just down bad, like terrible. But I end like as I'm messing with it more and more, I find out like a certain way you have to do that, bro. It's so ghetto. I ain't gonna break it down to everything. I like the steps I have to take to make sure my PC is working the right way. But I'm getting ready to build a new one. Like one of my homies told me about this site, so I'm about to get ready to build a new one.
PC part picker.
I don't remember what the site is exactly, but
I was trying to help out Justin this morning. Just wait out a little bit, just like a month or two.
Cause quarantine got the stocks clear. Yeah, right now, bro.
Like the price is on one part.
Expensive or sold out.
Yeah, the price is on one part right now is like double the price, and it's insane.
That's wild.
Like the graphics card, bro. Oh my god. Real quick though, shout out to the one and only Word Dude for gifting 10 subs. Yes, sir. Yes, we miss you, bro. We miss you, bro. But yeah, shout out to Wordy for the sub. Shout out to sub chat right now. Justin, do you have any questions for, you know, since you're an up and coming content creator now? This dude literally just realized that he's a content creator like 2 weeks ago when TVS was on.
I've been on that grind, you know? I do have some questions about 2K. I know you're a big 2K guy.
Okay.
My first question is, what do you think of the current state of 2K? And my second question is kind of based off what I'm assuming your answer is going to be, and how would you fix the problems with 2K? Because I'm
assuming there's going to be problems.
Well, interestingly enough, and people are usually surprised when I tell them this, I don't play 2K as much as people think. Like, I don't, like, you know, I play it, you know, every now and again for fun, but most of the time I'm playing it, I'm usually on it to like record videos or make some type of content. So for me, 2K isn't that bad. I think it's the people that play it often and get burnt out on it and, you know, like a lot of things people go through in 2K, I haven't really experienced it because I don't play it that much. So for me, it's not that bad, honestly, but I do keep my ears to the streets and I know there are a bunch of problems. I'm actually in a Discord, like I'm part of the 2K Makers community. So I'm in a Discord with like a lot of the 2K devs. So I relay a lot of information that people send to me on Twitter, or I just see on Twitter, or I see clips. I make sure they see it and send it in to them. So there's a lot of things, and I don't know if we have the time or if I have even the brain power to like right now say like what exactly can be done to fix 2K. Because a lot of everything is so subjective, man, you know, because I feel like if you change one thing, then these people are going to complain about it. But if you leave it, then these people are going to complain about it. So I don't feel like there would ever be just a 2K game where everyone's happy. And I've also feel like it's become a trend now to just hate 2K in a way. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like a lot of the times people things that people even say like don't even make sense sometimes. Like I just think that's just the cool thing to do is to say like 2K is trash or just to hate on 2K in general. So, you know, it's always just mixed things like that. But as far as I enjoy it. Whenever I hop on 2K, I enjoy it. And I feel like a lot of that comes from just the people you play with too. You know what I'm saying? Like why you having fun, you talking to your homies and everything like that. So I feel like, you know, that plays a huge part in it. And plus, like I said, I don't play it that much. So
damn.
You
That's true. That's shout out to CMV47 for 10 more gifted subs, man. Yeah. Jesus Christ. The chat is going crazy tonight, man. But yeah, you brought up a good point, Stacks. I feel like if you don't, you know, stay in tune to what's going on YouTube and just play the game by yourself and with your friends, honestly, a lot of the complaints, you don't even notice. Like the I've been hearing a lot of people recently complaining about the Blinders badge. And I just don't play my, Park enough to even, like, notice the difference.
Yeah. And this stuff, you know, I feel like a lot of people's complaints about the game is more about playing Park and not necessarily. Well, there's some my team things as well where and those are just, like, technical issues. But as far as, like, gameplay issues or just, you know, a lot of complaints come from Park. Yeah. So, and that's just more about trying to balance the game. That's why I said, like, there's people that don't like the fades, right? So now if you change the fades, there's people that's going to complain because you change fades. And, you know, so it's you're never going to have 100% of just, you know, people on your side with that type of stuff. So, yeah. And I know it's hard for devs to listen to a lot of feedback because a lot of times you'll have people that's like super elite at the game, right? And they complaining about a certain thing because they're elite at the game. Mm-hmm. They want it to where only elite people can do that, right? Like, oh yeah, if you're not this good, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And timing shots.
Exactly. And then there's people that's just trash at the game that complain about simple things, but like you're trash. So that's why, you know, your shots aren't going in. Like you shouldn't protect the shot. That's why your shot's not going.
It's too hard. It's too hard.
You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of people complain about shooting need a buff or stuff like that. But it's like, look at the shots you're shooting, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. I ain't gonna lie. When Next Gen came out, I was on the side of like, bro, I keep on missing like these really close to green, all white shots. And I'm like, okay, that should be close enough to a make. And then you have, you know, the other side of the spectrum is like, yo, just time your shots better and you'll make it. And exactly. I get that viewpoint as well. But if you're a player that's not like a, you know, on the game 24/7 type shit, it is frustrating to miss these like really close shots as well. So it's a balance. Yeah. It's a balance.
Mm-hmm. That's why I say you're never gonna get you know what I'm saying? You're never gonna get 100% of people on your side when it comes to just tuning a game like that.
Yeah. But the criticism, honestly, I think it comes because of two things. Number one is like it gets views on YouTube. Let's just be honest. But number two, I think it's also coming from the diehard fans of the game more than the casuals. Like, they're the ones that notice, you know, the broken badges, these small things that need to be fixed that'll make the experience a little better or a lot better in some cases.
I definitely I agree. I definitely think there's a lot of, you know, truth into what people saying is wrong with the game. Like, I just had an issue where I was sitting at the Zion screen for an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's wild.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's definitely issues with this game, and I'm not saying that. And there's definitely people that know exactly what they're talking about, but it's hard when you're, let's say, Mike Wang, and you're getting, you know, tweets constantly all day to cipher through and to know who's the person that really knows what's going on, and the rest that's just BS and people complaining about, you know, stupid stuff. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said, you know, I know that they have a hard time with that type of stuff. And that's kind of why they created the 2K Makers, you know, program, because, you know, they got some people that they trust and will bring in the right information to them. And a lot of the main thing, one of my main problems with 2K, and I try to be transparent with them about it, but it's their lack of transparency. Mm. It's their lack of just saying like, all right, we know this thing is broken. We're working to fix it. You know what I'm saying? They don't do that.
I think before this week, it took them like months to even tweet out anything about any updates. Oh my!
But the thing is, they're always constantly working behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Like they see a lot of this stuff, and they know like a lot of stuff is messed up, and they are working on it. They just don't tell people they're working on it. They just kind of drop the fix for it, or they drop the patch, but they don't let people know. Like, yo, you know, we know this badge is broken. You know, we're working on it now. It'll be fixed in the next patch. And I feel like if they were more transparent like that, they would get less complaining about. Like, that would just eliminate one thing for people to be complaining about.
Yeah.
Like, say the posterizer was broken. And they're like, yo, we know posterizer is broken. we're working to fix it. That would eliminate everybody keep constantly tweeting them about Posterizer being broken, you know. So I feel like there was a little bit more, well, not even a little bit, if they was just more transparent in general with things that's going on behind the scenes, then I feel like a lot of the criticisms towards 2K, I know a big one is that they don't listen to people. I know that's a big criticism, but in reality they do, and they just don't, for some reason, they just don't make that transparent at all.
That's true. Real quick, bro. Oh my God. Wordu just gifted 25 subs. Yeah, and then CMB countered with 25 on his own, bro. Let me get the gunshots in, bro. Jesus Christ, bro. They having a sub off? That's crazy. What is this? A stock market? That's crazy. That's crazy. Going back to the 2K Makers program. I haven't heard of that. Since today, so
yeah,
what is
that? It's an elite group.
Tier one.
It's an elite group of, you know, people that 2K selected to kind of, you know, just do what I do, just keep my ears to the streets. You know what I'm saying? Let them know what the problems are. You know, we do. I mean, I can't go too much into details about, you know, the specifics of things that we talk about, but you know, just an example of things we do. Like, I suggest like people that I think deserve a 2K logo. Now, I don't get the final say, but I suggest, like, if I see somebody that I think, like, oh, this dude is, you know, doing this thing, he doesn't have a 2K logo, I could bring that to them, like, yo, check this dude out. I think he deserves a logo. And they, you know, they kind of make the decision from there. But that's just an example of, you know,
stuff that we do. So is it like a select program, or is it something you have to apply for?
No, it's a select program. It's people that they, you know, they contact.
I mean, that's cool, though, that they even have something like that.
Some people that you may know, iPod. I'm pretty sure you know who
iPod
is. Shout
out iPod, yeah.
iPod is in there. I'm trying to think. Shakedown. I don't know if you guys know who Shakedown is.
Yes, sir. Justin doesn't.
No, I know. I'm trying to think of people that you guys would know for sure. No.
Wait, who'd you say?
Kenny. He's one of the only 2K YouTubers I watch, man.
I don't know. You know, I could look at the list here, but.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, you good. I just want to honestly just get a whole feel of the program. Yeah. But what the hell is Hype Train? Oh.
What is that?
I don't know. Okay, anyways. Jesus Christ. So what was the point in your YouTube career that you kind of figured out that this is something you can do full time? Because like you said, when you started out, this was obviously a hobby, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like your career now.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was when, obviously, I feel like I had to get pushed towards it. Like, I'm the type of person, like I said, I'm always thinking about what's next. I'm always thinking about the future. So I'm always thinking about like making sure that I'm taken care of, my family's taken care of. So I was working at Kmart while also doing the YouTube grind, and I think I got like a check that was like from YouTube that was like more than my, like, you know, you get paid from YouTube once a month.
Yep.
So that check was more than I made at Kmart for a month, you know what I'm saying? And once I saw that, I kind of talked to my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, and you know, she kind of gave me the nudge, was like, I feel like if you dedicated more time to YouTube and, you know, kind of quit the Kmart job and dedicated more time towards YouTube, then, you know, you could see this go a whole different level, you know. And at the time, like, we was living in a one bedroom apartment, and, you know, things was not in the greatest condition. So like, me quitting my job was kind of like a huge risk, you know what I'm saying? So just to know that I had her support in doing it, though, kind of, you know, gave me the extra bit of confidence, you know, and that she believed that I could make this happen, for me to just go ahead and do it, and, you know, ended up working out. So
that's good, bro.
How many years ago was that?
That was back in like 2014, 2015, maybe.
So a few years in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
I think that's a good decision, though. If you were working at Kmart and then you just noticed that, you know, you're already making more on YouTube. Cause Kmart, you got a stable salary, but YouTube, I mean, sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit, man. Sky's and it's limit, like, man. like I said, and at the time we was living off like my checks from Kmart and my checks from YouTube, but like be almost just enough for us to be like, all right, we paid all our bills and we got a little bit of food now. You know what I'm saying? So for me to quit like the Kmart job and just go 100% on YouTube was like a crazy risk for me. And like I said, I'm always thinking about the future, and I'm thinking about like, yo, man, if this don't work out, you know, I quit my job, I mean, we ain't got this money now. So the fact that, you know, I feel like it was perfect timing too. And I was just able to just lock in like that. And, you know, I'm just, you know, appreciative of her as well too, because for her to believe in me and put her faith in somebody and kind of like, you know, I'm counting on you to make this happen.
That's a fact, yeah. That's a big thing, because
be able to make it happen, it's great. And by the end, we had just had my daughter at the time too.
Congratulations!
So it was a lot. You know what I'm saying? So,
that's a big leap. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really good. Real quick, shout out to Miz for the 5 gifted. That's really good to have a support system like that, man. And I'm gonna just quick shout out to my girl as well. She's been supportive of me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's different if you have like a significant other and they're just like, yo, what the fuck are you doing with your life type shit?
me.
They'll let you know, man.
But you know, if you got a girl that's gonna support your endeavors and shit like that, you know, it pushes you a little bit to be like, all right, I'm gonna make this work for everyone.
You know, and just knowing that somebody that you care about that much believes in you, the way you believe in yourself is always, you know.
Yeah,
a boost in the right direction.
Yeah, the story you told about like being hesitant about like going full time with all the responsibilities. I'm in a similar situation right now, kind of, because coming out of college, I want to do the content creation shit full time, but it's like I know it's not as stable as a job I get with my degree.
Yeah.
But YouTube, that's like something I've been doing for 5 years. Not five, like four. 5 years is a little too much, but you know, it's something that I've had a lot of experience in. Is what I love to do, but it's a scary risk to do it full time, man. It really is.
It is, man. Like just jumping off that cliff, man. Making that move. I remember the day that was my last day at Kmart, and just the anxiety I felt knowing that like. Ain't no turning back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No turning back now. Like, this got to work. You know what I'm saying? And just, you know, putting all my focus into that. Like, man, when I was working at Kmart, like, my schedule was from 3. No, sorry. My schedule was from 3 to 10. So, like, I would try to record my gameplay, like, during the day, go to work, and then come home and try to edit it at night. You know what I'm saying? And that would cause me to oversleep. So it's like I'm sleeping till like 12, you know, and I don't really got that much time to like record gameplay and do other things around the house, or, you know, barely do anything else besides like record my gameplay, you know, and then get ready for work and get to work. Yeah. So it was like a repeated cycle of that over and over and over. So once I was able to like, you know, quit the job, quit Kmart, and kind of focus 100%. Man, it just, man, like being able to move when you want to move, like it's nothing better than that, man.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like, every morning I wake up, I feel blessed to just know that, like, man, if I want to sleep in today, I can. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got to move on nobody else's time.
Today could be a weekend for me. You know what I'm saying? If you wanted to. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so. I don't have to ask anybody to go on vacation and no stuff like that. You know, just move how you want to move. That's like a huge blessing. Huge blessing.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Cause my girl has like a regular 9-to-5 job, and like whenever we try to plan out like meeting up with each other, and I perfectly get like her schedule and shit. But I'm always like, I can go whenever, you know. And that's like a blessing on my part. But I'm like,
yeah,
you know, what's like, your schedule?
And being around like. You know, me and my wife for so long, like we've kind of been living that way. And then when we kind of make plans with other people, we kind of forget that everyone can't just move whenever they want to move. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's always, you know, you have that situation where you have to plan around other people's schedule.
That's true. That's true. Real quick, again, shout out to Wordu for another 25 gifted. Yo, dude. The chat is going crazy, bro. Don't go broke tonight. God damn it. Chat, don't go broke tonight. That's crazy, man. So building off of everything we just talked about, what would be your biggest advice in terms of longevity, in terms of making YouTube content creation as a career instead of like just a 1 or 2 year stunt type shit?
Definitely consistency. I think that's number one, you know, being consistent, not, you know, taking huge breaks and stuff like that. Just being consistently there and, you know, with your content. Also, one thing that's so underrated is just being able to adapt and keep improving. I feel like a lot of people kind of get complacent on where they at and just kind of like, I know this works, so I'm gonna keep doing this. But being able to adapt and keep on, whether that's you change the way you edit or you change, you know, your background or you change just something, you know, just keep improving. And, you know, I feel like that's very underrated and definitely, you know, those would probably be my top two words of advice. And then also just be yourself. You know what I'm saying? I feel like what draws a lot of people just to content creators in general is their personality. Mm-hmm. So just being yourself would attract the type of people that you will want to attract because the type of person you are, you know, a lot of people that are like you will want to watch you. And a lot of people that think like you're a cool person will want to watch you as well. So yeah. I feel like being yourself is.
And
like,
you found a million of them, bro. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy.
Wow, this one is wild.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, that's something I've been working on this year as well. Cause like when I came up, I was like a voiceover dude. So like, there's a little bit of personality in there, but you can only go so much. So with this podcast, just showing my face on camera more, that's something I've been trying to improve on. And I think I'm doing a good job. Shout out to chat. You know what I'm saying? You guys actually know what I look like now. Couldn't have said this like 2 years ago, but you know. Justin, any more questions? You know what I'm saying? Upcoming content creator.
You said you're not playing 2K as much. What are some of your favorite games that some of your subscribers might not know? Or do you always play when you stream?
Right now I've been playing Cyberpunk a lot. I've been on it, man, grinding. I've been playing WWE. Well, I'm sure people know I like that game, so I guess that wouldn't count. Xenoverse, been playing. I have my Switch, so I've been on, like, Crash. I've been on Pokemon. I've been playing that. I got the trilogy, so I've been playing the trilogy. I got
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah. I got the trilogy, and I've been playing. I played the new one. I beat the new one on the PlayStation when that came out. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games. Like I played Madden a lot. I'm sure people know I played Madden, but I probably played Madden more than I played 2K.
But that's a misconception with a lot of the big 2K YouTubers. I ain't gonna lie. Like people think about that with Agent. But I probably came on here and said, like, Adrian plays a lot of games that's out of 2K. But
like, I feel like, and honestly, I feel like since 2018, like, my hours played on 2K been dropping every year. And it's not that I don't like playing 2K, because every time I play it, I have fun playing it. It's just that I feel like, just as a person, like, I feel like my entertainment level has grown to the fact that I need more. To be entertained and not just the same basketball game. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of need more. So I've been playing like, and then I also started playing horror games a lot too. So my anxiety though is ridiculous. I could barely play. As soon as I get into a chase, I pause it and I just
Why are you playing cheating, them more? Wait, why are you playing them more if you don't like the anxiety?
The thing is, I'm a huge horror fan. Like horror movies, favorite genre of movie. When it comes to like gaming videos, a lot of the videos I watch are horror videos, and you know, so I like the games as well. So when I play them, I enjoy it, the feeling of like creeping and all that stuff. But whenever it gets to the point to I'm being chased, I can't do that. I can't handle that. My body just shut down. So what I do is I just pause the game. As soon as I feel like I'm getting chased, I pause the game. And it's always the fear of, like, looking behind you, the people still chasing you. It's really that for me. So I pause the game, And then, like, I'd be trying to talk myself back into playing it, but I always just turn it off. Like, not even unpause it.
You just quit. You just
I'm done.
Wait, have you played Fortnite?
I didn't.
Like at like for a stretch, even. I'm about to say that happens a lot in Fortnite. So you
No, but it's not scary. Like, when you got to understand,
okay,
when you're
okay.
playing yeah, a horror yeah. game, like, you immersed
right, into okay.
the, you know what I'm saying, to the atmosphere of it being a horror game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you kind of expecting spooky, you hearing spooky noises. Like, everything is being put into your head and you're being programmed.
Okay. All right, that makes more sense. Like,
it's real out here. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Then when that chick, bro, I've never beat a horror game. Never. Not one.
Not one. Never. What's the closest you've gotten?
Not close at all.
Not close.
I've never gotten close.
Yeah, at least you tried a variety because of that, man.
Yeah, I tried a lot. Actually, I'm lying. I did beat a horror game, but it was with friends. It was it's called Pacify, I think.
And I feel like I've heard of that.
I just beat it recently. I actually recorded a video on it, but the footage got messed up.
So proud.
The footage got messed up, but it was me and some friends and we beat that. But them single player ones, man, I'm telling you, I can't do it at all. And if it's multiplayer and it get too real, I'm leaving you. Don't worry about me sticking around. And I will quit if I feel like I'm. Yeah, my anxiety for that, man, is just, I can't take it.
Nah, I feel it, bro. I feel even like shit like The Last of Us.
I respect it's the not even a horror game. Keeps going back.
Yeah, man. Hey, I gotta go back because I like it, but once I once it get too real for me, I can't do it. What is that?
Did you quit The Last of Us, or did you not play it?
Oh, no, I didn't play that. I didn't even play it.
That one's not too scary. You might be able to do it.
I wouldn't even consider that one, like, really a horror game, you know?
It's got the chasing, though. It does have some chasing that you might not like.
See, it's not the chasing. Well, it's the chasing, but it's the chasing in a haunted mansion. You know what I'm saying? It's the chasing, like, an abandoned...
With Bloody Mary right behind you.
Yeah, you know, that yeah, I mean, not necessarily being chased.
The audio in it is pretty creepy. It's not like supposed to be scary. It's not like a horror game, but it has sections that are like intentionally like horror scary.
Yeah, I think what Justin's trying to say is if you're trying to get your games up. Yeah, what Justin's trying to say, if you're trying to get the games up that you finish a horror game, you know what I'm saying? Last of Us might be up your alley.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
I remember I streamed Outlast. The stream lasted like 15 minutes, bro.
I'm like, did you end the stream right after?
Yeah, I was done. It was nothing else to talk about. I remember the exact part I was on. I was inside of a locker, and the dude, it was like this big, scary looking dude. Like, he came inside the room. I'm hiding in the locker, and he comes inside the room, and he like he about to leave the room, but then he turns around. I paused the game instantly. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. I know it's about to happen. Now it was three lockers lined up on the wall.
That's tough.
He walks up to the first locker, opens it. He walks up to the second locker, opens it. I turned the game off. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm good.
I ain't even gonna get to the next one, man. I'm done.
I don't even want to know what's gonna happen when he opened my locker. Don't even want to know. I'm good. I'm not playing this
game. I respect it, bro. I respect it. You gotta stop it before they get you.
A lot too. Like, when it's a jump scare, I can handle a jump scare because you don't know when it's gonna happen, and then once it happened, it already happened.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It was over with. You know what I'm saying? But the anxiety, the buildup of you knowing something's about to happen, I can't do that. Can't do it.
I feel it. I respect it, bro. I respect it. You know what I'm saying?
But you didn't even want to play a different game after. It just killed your appetite. You're like, okay, 15 minutes is enough for tonight.
The thing was, the stream was supposed to be that. You know what I'm saying? So once that was done, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and peace out. Yeah,
that's
it for me.
That's it. I ain't playing 2K after this, you know.
I was good off that, bro.
I feel it, bro. I feel it. Justin, do you have something?
Yeah, you know what helps with the getting over horror movies and horror games is having someone with you that will get more scared than you. Makes you feel so much better. Just having someone next to you that will freak out from anything just makes you feel so much less like a wuss.
Let me tell you something funny, right? So my wife doesn't like horror movies, right? So we watch them together, and I know exactly what you're talking about, the feeling. But I still sometimes when things is building up, I just close my eyes, right? I just close my eyes. She think I'm still watching it. She think I'm still watching, but really my eyes is closed. Like, and then I kind of listen for like audio cues to know like whatever I was worried about. But my eyes just be closed. I'll downstairs still be looking at the TV, but my eyes would be closed. So you wouldn't even know that my eyes are closed. I'm still watching.
Think you're slick.
It'd be real, man. It'd be real.
Stacks got the secret moves, bro. That's crazy. That's crazy. Sure. I guess we can train. One of the questions I had for you was like, and this is like a hard turn back to 2K, but like, what was your what was some of your favorite builds throughout the years?
Because
I remember your small forward with the Wizards. That was like.
I mean, I think after a while, they kind of all blend together, man. Like, once you could do everything on a player, like, you know, it kind of all blends together. But one of my favorite ones was probably my Sharp. I made, like, a Sharp in 2K17, and I used to stream that with that player a lot playing Park. And that was probably the first time I've ever was playing 2K and felt like I could win every time I play. Like, ever, like, there was never
to that point.
And there's times where I would lose, but even when I lost, I just always had the confidence that I was going to win the next game. Like, I never played anybody when I had that player. I never played anybody, any squad, any team where I felt like, oh, I could lose. I always just assumed I was going to win. So that would probably be my favorite build. And just like, you know, but after that, they kind of all blend together. Like, my player could dunk, he could shoot threes, he could dribble, you know. After that, they're kind of all the same, to be honest.
Right. That's a criticism that when I ask people on the pod is like a lot of the builds is kind of blending to the same dude. And rightfully so. I feel like everyone wants to have the most all-around build that can do anything.
What's crazy is people were complaining about that last year or the year before. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, my player can only do one thing. And then now they give you builds where your player can do multiple things. Now people complaining about the fact that every build can do everything. So
that's tough. That's tough. There's always going to be something to complain about, bro. That's crazy. But yeah, I feel like one thing we've been emphasizing on this pod when we talk about 2K is that people got to realize they got like less than a year to create a whole ass new game.
And this year they had to create two.
They had to get two teams as well for current gen and next gen. And that's a lot of programming to do.
Too much work.
that's too much work. Yeah.
A lot of these big companies actually catch a lot of flack for overworking their developers, like way too many hours a week. There was a company like a year ago that just got like completely like disbanded and everything. All their employees got laid off because they were just overworking them like crazy and then just laid them all off. I can't remember the name.
Jeez.
But. Was it the gaming company that does the story games, like the Walking Dead games? Is that the one you're referring to? Yeah, Telltale.
That's not what I'm talking about, but yeah, that's another one. That's another one.
Telltale, man, that kind of hurt. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah.
Telltale, man,
that's tough.
Some classics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the criticism for developers is a little bit too much. I feel like the criticism should be at the very top of who structures the whole game to me. And like, you know, I feel like developers sometimes, they have to appease to the shareholders. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's people at the top that control the shit.
In companies that big, most of the developers are not the designers. They're completely separate. I mean, some of them are, obviously, like the head ones, but they have hundreds of developers, and most of them don't get any input in the game. They just do what they're told, you know? They say, put this in. They don't say, but it would be better. It doesn't matter. They do what they're told. So they're just sitting there. They go to work. They work hours a day. It's to do exactly what they're told, and they just catch a lot of flack for a game that they didn't even design, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They just put it together. You could be critical of the company, but I feel like being critical of all the employees isn't really fair because they don't want to all do the same thing.
Yeah. I just don't know how you can look at a game like 2K and how good it is technically and say the devs are trash. Like, you don't make a game like that.
Exactly.
And be trash. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I don't want to be, you know, the 2K Avengers cast, but there's a lot of criticism that goes to 2K, and again, some of it is warranted, but some of it isn't. And we, you know, this is the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast. We try to keep it real here.
Just always keep it real.
You know, we try our best. But
to an extent.
But yeah, we already established that that 2K YouTubers don't just talk and play 2K all day. So let's talk a little bit about music, Stacks. What kind of music do you listen to?
Man, right now, So my favorite artist is Big Sean. Like, Big Sean is my dog, bro. I feel like my connection with Big Sean's music is like what am I trying to say? It kind of is right there with my come up on YouTube. Like, I used to listen to his music just like for motivation, as like, you know, I'm on my way to work or like stuff like that. And I remember when I got my car, I got a Mercedes Benz. The first thing I played was all of the music that I used to listen to, like on my way to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just to like I made it to this point to where I'm at. Like, I got a freaking Benz, right? So like, Big Sean is my guy. Everything he dropped, I listen to. I've been listening to Detroit 2, his new album. Amazing. But lately I've been listening to like some old Wayne, you know what I'm saying?
I have as well, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Carter 3.
You know what I'm saying? I've been listening to like, you know, some old mixtape Wayne. Also, but I like a lot of R&B, man. I think that just become a recent thing. Like, and it's not like R&B like Chris Brown and stuff like that. The R&B I listen to is like usually like the female R&B. Like Janae, her, SZA.
I fuck with you, bro. I ain't gonna lie. A lot of people are afraid to listen to female R&B for some reason, but that shit is heat.
If it ain't rap, that's what I'm listening to. You know what I'm saying? And my four favorites right now, Janae, Ella Mai, SZA, and her.
So, do you listen to Summer Walker?
A little bit. Like, I listen to, like, mostly, like, I don't go and search for her songs, but when her songs come on, I'm vibing, so.
Her last album, bro, that shit is, at least to me.
The picture on the album is what always cracked me up. Like, I always feel like the dude on the other end of that phone is somewhere like, he ain't really trying to hear all of what she talked. Like,
she made a whole last album.
That picture looks so problematic. Like, she just looked like she getting on somebody.
She just ranting the whole time. Mm-hmm. That's true. No, I respect that, bro. I respect that. Cause I tweeted about this like a month ago. I honestly got a lot of flack for it. I just said, like, if you just listen to rap and that's it, that's just I just can't imagine doing that, bro. Yeah, like, I can't listen to bars 24/7.
24/7. Like, are there any females in your life at this point? Cause now I'm starting to question a lot of things, man. If all you listen to rap, like, yeah, bro. I know you ain't. Yeah, something ain't right.
Yeah, I'm saying.
But I just, you know how everybody was doing like their most listened to music of like 2020, like on iTunes and Spotify.
The rap, yeah.
Mine's was Big Sean and Janae. Like my top two artists that I listened to in 2020.
I fuck with that. What'd you feel about their collab album?
Oh, 2088, man. I'm hoping for another one.
Me too, bro.
I feel like I listened to it to death already. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been listening to the death, man. Like I said, those are probably my two favorite artists right now. And it's kind of crazy that they together like that, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not, that wasn't done because of that. It wasn't done purposely. It's just that I feel like Janae got one of the purest voices I've ever heard in my life.
That's a fact.
I don't even know how a human could sound like that. And then my boy Sean is just always, you know, motivated me and, you know, and plus he having some bangers as well, so.
Sean be like the coolest, swaggiest monotone rapper I've ever.
Yo, an album that probably went under the radar is Jay Electronica album that he dropped. Mm. Banger.
Oh, the Jay-Z one?
Yeah, the one with Jay-Z. Banger.
Like, I love how everyone just calls it the Jay-Z one.
from first track to the last, man. Like,
they should have just called it a collab album, honestly. Was he on every single track?
I think he was only not on one. I think it was just one he wasn't on. But people were saying it was a rumor, and I don't think this is true. It was a rumor that it was a collab album. That's why it was like Jay Electronica, you know, like Jay-Z Electronica kind of together, and this came out to be Jay Electronica. I don't know. You know, it's just a rumor.
It doesn't really work when Jay's already in his name.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But no, that's what people are saying. I don't know.
That's tough. That's tough.
That's like having a Lil Wayne, Lil Baby collab and just calling it like
Lil Baby.
But the Lil's for Wayne.
But the Lil's for Wayne. Bro, that's stupid, bro. In terms of your ventures with content creation, what do you have anything in the works? Doing YouTube? Oh, well, yeah, you obviously are, but you know.
I started a second channel where I do like more IRL stuff, the sit down videos, talking and stuff like that. And then that's probably like, I wouldn't say gaming isn't something I'm interested in, because I feel like I'm always at the core of my being, I'm always going to be a gamer. But I feel like I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards the IRL stuff and just making things outside of just gaming. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then also venturing out to other games as well. Like, that's something I've always wanted to do. And I just never did, because like majority of my audience, you know, is like basketball or any type of sports and stuff like that. So, but you know, venturing out to other games and then focusing on my other channel, my second IRL channel, is probably where I'm at right now. It's funny because I actually, so I'm going to be streaming on this app, and it's not like gaming streaming. It's just kind of like Instagram Live. I'm going to be streaming on the app.
Is it caffeine?
No, it's not caffeine.
Okay.
I had to do an audition to be able to stream on this app, right? But it's not, like I said, it's kind of like, you know how people do Instagram Live. It's kind of like that. So I had to do an audition, and I had to just literally just, the only people who are watching the stream are like the people that are in charge of like develop the app, the owner of that stuff, you know, stuff like that. So I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of like, you know, being myself, doing my thing on the app. And like they kind of slowly let other people watch and everything like that. And by the end of it, they usually say they usually take like a week for people to like hear back if they are approved or not approved for the app. By the end of the stream, they contacted me instantly like, yo, you're approved. We definitely want you part of this app. Have you ever thought about like doing any like mainstream media, like TV, movies and stuff like that? And then, like, I was talking to one of the guys that's a part of the app, and he's like, man, I got this guy that does, like, mainstream media stuff. I kind of want to introduce you to him and stuff
Oh, shit. Stacks on the main street.
Wait. You know what I'm saying? I ain't getting nobody hopes up. Nothing's official. So, you know, I'm just, you know, just, you know what I'm saying?
Getting the connections up. That's all it is.
Just getting my connections up. And in case something do happens, this was an exclusive. Heard it here first.
Let's keep it a buck exclusive. Let me get a. Go ahead.
First time I ever even mentioned it. So there you go.
Can you say that the name of the app, or is that?
You can.
Well, I have something coming tomorrow involving it.
All right. Okay.
Respect. So keep up with Stacks. You know what I'm saying? Follow him everywhere.
Stay posted.
No, fuck with that. That's kind of similar to our story with Locker Room Plug. Like we had the CEO on the pod, and we just had like a really good conversation and shit. And then we, after the call, you know, we parted ways, cool. But I felt like me, Justin, Dom, and the rest of the pod, we just had a conversation about how cool he was. And then lo and behold, the day after, he reaches back to us as well, and pretty much just said the same thing, like our goals aligned, our views aligned and shit. So let's work together. But yeah, it's all about those connections, man. It's all about those connections.
Man, getting that phone book right.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed a lot this year. Is that connections are way more important than people talk about.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's like, you know, that's how a lot of people skip the line in terms of like just YouTube in general. Like,
I think of life, honestly.
Like, I just stuck to YouTube because that's kind of, you know, the field we were in. But like, yeah, in life general, man, it's about definitely about who you know and who could, you know what I'm saying, could give you that, who could vouch for you. So
yeah. And honestly, just like the game they give you, like the advice, like even you coming on here, man,
for sure,
you know, the advice you gave about going full time, longevity. This is something that I'll probably watch like tomorrow, reflect on it and shit.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff, man, is, like, you don't really even know what you don't know until you know it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you don't know, now you know, but you don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Because you really, like, because you could be, like, there's so many things that I've learned just from hearing people talk, and you start to realize, like, wow, I did not know that at all. And now I'm happy I spoke to this person or was able to listen to this person talk for me to even figure this out.
That's true. So in terms of longevity on the platform, would you say like a big advice is just like just making the content that you like or appeasing to what your viewers like more?
I always think making the content that you like is the best route to go, because you don't want to appease to people and put yourself in a situation where you're not happy with the content. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of people back themselves into the corner, and those are the people that usually need to take breaks. You know what I'm saying? Those are the people that you just see disappear for like weeks or months at a time because they're not enjoying it. You know what I'm saying? They're not really enjoying what they're doing. So definitely, and that goes part of just what I said before about being yourself. Definitely make the content that makes you happy. Make the content that you like to make, because you're less likely to not want to make that. You know what I'm saying? If you're enjoying it, if that's what you want to do.
Right.
And obviously, you want to build an audience based off you doing stuff that you like to do and not stuff that, you know, just the popular thing. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Okay, so that's a very similar answer to everyone that's been on the pod that's been doing this for like 8+ years. So that seems like a fact at this point.
You can't do it for 8 years if you don't like it. You can't.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's true. Because I feel like a lot of young creators, I'm acting like I'm old. I'm 20, but like a lot of people get caught up in the analytics, especially right now with the whole ranking system with YouTube. You see a video on Creator Studio, oh, it's a 9 out of 10. That's like something recent for the people who don't know. Yeah. Like it used to just be, okay, this is how many views you got in the first day, and that's exactly about it. But now they got a ranking system. So when you go on Creator Studio, you can either see a really good number, which is a 1, which means it's the best out of your last 10 videos, or a 10, and pretty much just, you know, it makes you feel shitty. I'm like,
man, like I said, I've been doing this for so long, I don't even pay attention to that stuff, man. I just, you know, like, I know, like, and I've also gotten to the point, just because, like I said, I'm always adapting. So recently, I stepped up my editing, and I got to the point to where every time I hit render on a video or upload on a video, I'm proud of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that I did creatively, I've done everything that I feel like this video needed. You know, when it comes to audio, visually, everything, I know that I've done everything. So I feel proud of every video I upload. So that stuff doesn't really affect me that much.
Got you. Yeah, I got to work on that. I'm still at the point where I go on the app and I'm like, fuck, man. Yeah. 10 out of 10 on this video I worked like 2 days on?
It's the ones you work the most on. It's the one you work the most on that I was.
Yeah, bro. I found like one of my most popular videos is a video that I did with my daughter. And I literally just thought about doing it at that point because it was her birthday. So I just did the video with her, just messing around. And that ended up being one of my most popular videos. Like,
it feel like that, bro. That's crazy. Yeah, because I did a what if video last month. You know what I'm saying? Spent like 3 days on the script, recorded it perfectly, sent it out to a video editor, made sure everything's perfect and shit. And it did good. You know what I'm saying? It didn't do bad. But then just like 2 days ago, I just ranted about Zion and the Pelicans. And that shit already got more views than that video.
Yeah, man,
and that's just how it works.
How the algorithms be.
That's just how it works, man.
Can't sweat it too much.
Yeah. But Justin, do you have any more questions? This can be like on the shortest side of things because we one man down.
Yeah.
The guy that brings the most energy to this pod, bro. But
I didn't got anything right now.
You got 5 seconds, dude.
No, I'm good. I said I don't got anything right now.
Man, I love it.
All right, man. I mean, yeah, Stacks, thank you for coming on, man. Thank you for coming on. Very insightful conversation. Once again, I love having these people that have been on the platform for 7 to 8 years, just, you know, absorbing all the education and shit. But Stacks, if you have, you know, plug your shit, you know what to do, man.
Hey, check out my YouTube channel at Stacks Montana. I have my second channel at Yo Stacks. It's Yo Stacks. My Twitter, Instagram, Yo Stacks. And yeah, that's about it, man. That's about it. Just come holler at me. I'm always down to talk sports. like I said on Twitter, I'm kind of a troll. I ain't
that's
gonna
all
lie.
Of us, bro. Don't worry.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of a troll on Twitter. But you know what I'm saying? Once you get past that, you know, I'm good. You feel me? I'm cool, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's about it.
What sports are you into? You said well obviously basketball.
Football is like my number one. My number one.
Real quick, how'd you feel about the Super Bowl then?
Didn't watch it, man. I came back home super late because I was out. Came back home super late. And once I was getting ready to watch it, I saw my wife cooking, and I'm like, I would rather just like sit down, watch a movie with her, eat dinner.
I respect it.
We kind of just, you know, ate dinner, watched a movie, and just kind of chilled the rest of that night. I kept checking in on the score, but once I saw the game was kind of like out of reach, I didn't even stop worrying about it. And, you know, and I feel like this wasn't a terrible Super Bowl to miss either because of how lopsided the game was. So I'm not even upset about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, especially with everything going on, I don't think it's something that you surround your whole schedule with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But before we go, I do want to talk about one thing. I remember you sent me over a list, top five NBA players.
Oh, go ahead. Let me get the chats in.
So
all time?
No. This current.
Current.
Okay. I'm gonna try to rank them in order. This is my order.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that know me know that I'm a LeBron hater, right? I'm a LeBron hater, but he is on the list. So I don't
know.
He's not at one though. He's not at number one. So I'm just going based off of my opinion this
depends
year.
Depends on who is one. Maybe I'll let it slide.
This year, this current season.
Okay.
I gotta go. Steph Curry, number one. He's been my favorite player to watch all year. The Warriors haven't been winning as much.
Look at Justin's face.
haven't been winning as much, but Steph Curry is like.
He's been killing it.
Number two, Kevin Durant. For him to come back off that Achilles injury. Coming back off that Achilles injury, hooping the way he's hooping right now.
So you talk about just this season, right?
Talking about this season. Just this season, this year, the games that they played this year.
Okay.
Number three, then I'm going to go LeBron. I'm going to go LeBron three. And if I had to give somebody the MVP right now, it probably would be LeBron. So, you know, there's that for you.
Respect on his name.
Number four, this is kind of where I struggle a little bit. Because I don't feel like there's been any other people that really stand out to me like this year right now. But number four, I probably would go Giannis. And then number five, Kawhi.
Interesting. Overall, I find that interesting.
That'd probably be my
I feel like, you know, just as a friendly rebuttal, if it's just based off this regular season, then where are guys like Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic? If it's just based off of this season.
See, those, like, that's when it kind of get tricky because you also got Dame, you got Trae Young who's been hooping, you got Luka. Like, you know, and that, those guys always kind of get left out because of the top tier of NBA players are still the top tier players, you know what I'm saying? And those guys are kind of getting their way into that top tier. So, Joel Embiid definitely been hooping. Definitely, like, and I could probably even replace one of the guys I had in the top five with Joel Embiid. It's just that, you know, those guys have been like consistently hooping. So
Fuck with it. I feel like you just had like your top five, and then based off of how they're playing so far, rearrange it a little bit. I fuck with it. Everyone has their own opinion.
But Steph Curry, man, that's Chef.
Woo!
Chef out West, man. That boy
pulled up from half court with 21 seconds left on a shot clock, bro. Oh my god.
What's wild is remember when people was calling Steph washed at the like those first
3 weeks
of
ago? Yeah.
Those first couple of games, people were saying like, oh, Steph, he lost this. But I seen people literally breaking down footage, like doing side by sides of like his dribble moves. Like he lost a step. Look how slow this move is. He used to be able to do it this fast. And now to see him, like, he had 62, he had 57 the other night. Just to see him, like, doing all of this. I haven't seen anybody call Steph Curry washed in, like those 3 weeks.
I better never see
him. You know what's crazy? Now we got a little conversation at the end. But you know what's crazy? The biggest knock on Steph Curry is how he hasn't carried a trash team. Number one, people forget about, like, 2013 and 2014, like that didn't happen. Like he led the Warriors to like 51 seasons with Klay and Draymond not being who Klay and Draymond are.
That's true.
But this year, I mean, this team is doodoo cheeks without Stephen Curry. Let's just call a spade, man.
It's probably been one of the worst. Well, probably not the worst team he's been on, but since he's been Steph Curry,
I
feel like he was on some pretty bad teams, like during like the early part of his career.
Yeah, maybe before I even started.
Okay, ever since he became like a true star.
Yeah, ever since he became Steph Curry, this is hands down the worst team he's been on.
Yeah.
They do have a couple nice pieces, but
you know what people are saying now though?
They're nice and inconsistent. That's the problem. Yeah. When you have inconsistency, you cannot. When you don't have people you can rely on game in and game out, it's hard to kind of give them that nod. Mm-hmm. Like Klay, when you got Klay out there, you know you can depend on Klay game in, game out. You know he's going to give you everything. But when you got like Andrew Wiggins, who might air ball a layup, or he might hit a three, you never know.
You never know, bro.
About Weissman specifically. He's been doing much
better. And he's been hurt too, though, right? He missed like last year.
But when he is playing, he's pretty consistent. But even that, like Steph Curry and Weissman, that's not a playoff team. Like it shouldn't be.
Right?
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be, right? But you know, it is.
That Chef gonna make it happen, man.
Yeah, that was the one knock on him, and now if he does it this year, man,
that's kind of a weird knock to have on you. You know, to say like, oh yeah, you never led a trash team. It's like
what my bad.
Like my team hasn't been trash. Like it's just, you know, it is what it is though.
That's true. Since we're doing outros, Justin, I guess say goodbye to the people, man.
Goodbye, Sus Chat. GG's everybody. Thank you, Wardy with CUB, for the bonus.
The bonus. Shout out to Dom, man. Happy birthday. You know what I'm saying? Happy birthday to Dom. We're not going to be able to. Well, the next episode is going to be after his birthday. So shout out to Dom. Enjoy your night, man. Enjoy your night with your family. We will see you on Sunday. Shout out to Stacks again for coming on. Appreciate it, man.
Bro, and it probably hurt Dom so bad to miss this. I'm sure he's.
Yeah, Dom is a big fan of yours, bro.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to get up with him then.
For sure. You're welcome here anytime. You know what I'm saying? Just hit me up.
Thank you.
We will see y'all, man. Peace.